Tom, you're from the Alzheimer's Ireland, and you're launching a new campaign by DCCN, Dementia Carers Campaign Network, and BWD, Dementia Working Group, and so maybe you'll tell us about the new campaign as such.
Yeah, I mean, basically the campaign tomorrow, that two advocacy groups, basically, they're Dementia Carers Campaign Network, and so they're made up of carers and former carers of people with dementia. And then we have our Irish Dementia Working Group, so there are people who have dementia and who advocate and lobby the government and so on. So there are two of our very active advocacy groups, and tomorrow they're basically launching a joint campaign, and the aim of the campaign is basically just to focus on educating healthcare professionals, doctors, geriatricians, public health nurses and so on, about what supports people with dementia need when they actually receive their diagnosis. So the campaign's actually launching a video tomorrow, The Experience of a Dementia Diagnosis. So it's basically been developed to highlight the different experiences that people have when they're receiving their diagnosis. Some people's experience, it can be very, very different to the next. So we've a number of our advocates, both people with dementia and carers, who will be speaking about their own personal experiences tomorrow. So really the aim is to speaking directly to any healthcare professionals. And again, that's not just GPs, but also the likes of public health nurses, geriatricians, neurologists, memory clinics, anybody who would have contact or would give support to people with dementia.
Yeah, and dementia as such, apparently there's umpteen different forms of it, hundreds, I believe, different forms, and it affects different people differently. And apparently it's about 50% as far as we can find out between males and females. And normally we associate dementia with very old people as such, and they call it all sorts of things in days gone past, second childhood, and dosing, and a whole lot of other bits and pieces. Now, of course, the population now is growing older by the minute. And, dementia or Alzheimer's doesn't just affect older people, but by and large it does. It can affect younger people.
Yeah, it can, absolutely. It's kind of a misconception, if you like, that, well, dementia only affects people who are over the age of 65. So, that's not necessarily true. Age is a big contributing factor, but 1 in 10 people who are actually diagnosed with dementia in Ireland are actually under the age of 65. So that's people, who get an earlier or young set dementia. They're people who are in their maybe their 40s, 50s, early 60s, for example. So dementia, again, it is something that does affect older people, but it's not just something that affects older people, and it's not a natural part of growing old, if you like. Dementia is something very, very different, if you like, and you're right to say that it doesn't affect everybody the same way. It affects everybody in a different way, actually, and there are so many different types of dementia. There's something like in the region of 400 different types. Your listeners would probably be most familiar with, Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia might be the most commonly known types of dementia. But as you said, there are so many different types, and there are the different types affect people in different ways, and there's lots of information up on our website, alzheimer.ie, which will give people, if they are looking for information, you can get information from our website, or you can ring our helpline, 1800 341 341, and it's free and confidential for people who are looking to get some information about dementia and about the supports and services that are out there for people.
Yes, that's 1800 341 341. No?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. We'll give that their number out a couple of times during the program.
Great. And
now, with the onset of dementia, it can be very, very slowly affecting a person, you know. It could take maybe 20 years or so to sort of get up to maturity. We call that, for want of another word. And some people it affects very rapidly. And the carers campaign, the carers are people who would have to have an intimate knowledge of the patient or the parent that they're looking after. And normally it's at the onset, it's usually part of the family group. And, you know, people forget, but you can't say that's Alzheimer's or dementia. But if there's all sorts of indications, there are all sorts of indications of people who have it, and it's not recognised till it's not recognised until maybe a later stage, and then carers are needed. And with regard to the carers, what are the availability of carers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously the carers carry out a hugely important role in caring for people with dementia. Even in the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, we provide a number of, supports and so on for carers, not just in the Dublin area, but across the country. For example, we run online courses on family carer training. We also do face-to-face courses as well. There are a number of other supports. I mean, even like our helpline that we mentioned earlier on, but also there's Alzheimer cafes and social clubs and things like that that people can get involved in and talk to other people. And even the advocacy group that I mentioned who are launching that campaign tomorrow, the Dementia Carers Campaign Network, they're always looking for new members and new people to get interested, whether they're a carer or perhaps a former carer.
Hello there, Cormac. I'm just a sidekick of Austin sitting in for today, and I have family problems with dementia myself. And
sure.
I just wonder, is there people who would drop into the homes and appraise the patients now and then?
Yeah, well, I mean, even in our, across our kind of daycare centres, we have 51 daycare centres and so on across the country. So people would regularly kind of praise the work, praise the work of carers. We would hear a lot of people, saying what a good job if you like carers are doing across the country. We were actually involved in a research project there last year with Trinity College, and it was called the stress report. So that was a big study in Ireland. So it was kind of looking at the well-being of family carers of people with dementia.
Well, I was thinking more now in lines of a home visit, because as Austin was saying earlier, dementia can keep slowly but surely getting into a bad stage, and a lot of people that I know of, and I know quite a few, would be very wary and frightened of where they're going. If we could get some more professional advice, as to what stage the patient is at and what type of activities should be allowed or encouraged for the people who have dementia,
All right, yeah. I mean, obviously home care is hugely important. It's something that we're always advocating for in terms of getting more home care for people with dementia. So there's always kind of support out there. If people are looking for specific support or services or anything that might be in there, whether it's in the Dublin area or across the country, to kind of ring our helpline 1800 341 341. You can get all the information there in terms of kind of more specific support for carers, but certainly the role that they do is hugely important. And you know, it's something we're always trying to kind of promote, both obviously the voice of the person with dementia, but also the role of the kind of carer and the family carers within that, you know.
Well, would you recommend then that family carers in particular should go and do a course on as the disease progresses slowly towards, you know, the end, like, you know, would
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, all the information of our training courses are up on our website, and we run them, you know, in the Dublin area especially. We've got them on the south side and on the north side. We've upcoming courses there over the next number of months. They're basically 10-week courses, so they're hugely important for our family members, siblings, parents, and so on. Just for people to get kind of it gives them really good kind of coping mechanisms and fantastic support for people. There's also an online training course that people can do in the comfort of their own home, and it's never too early for people to avail of those services. They should avail of them at the earliest point, really. If someone wants to speak to our like training department about when they want to get those supports or how soon should they get those supports, please give us a ring in the Alzheimer's Society, and our training department would be happy to talk to them. But I would say it's never too early to get those types of supports, you know.
Yeah, I do know some patients too who have phones, and they find it very difficult to use some of the phones. And even like in the case of remote controls for televisions and stuff like that, is there any group that would be able to suggest a sort of a more minor step type of phone that could be used as just an alarm or just a general in touch with family type of thing, or even computers in that, are these type of things not available? You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah. That's something I can get some information for you and your listeners as well. I can talk to the helpline staff here and have a chat with them and see what kind of, you know, kind of mobile devices are out there that might be more kind of easier for people with dementia to use. I've nothing to hand, if you like, that I can give you. I can certainly get some information on there.
Yeah, I do know a person who, for instance, had a problem with their mother was having a lot of problems, and they were trying to take the mobile phone away from her because it was giving her more trouble than, you know what I mean? And it was very difficult. She didn't want, it was like part of her lifestyle then. But at the same time, she couldn't use it. And they were spending a lot of their caring time trying to teach her something that really she wasn't able for, you know?
Right. Yeah, again, if people are kind of experiencing those things or those kind of issues are kind of cropping up for people, again, we've trained helpline staff, volunteers that are there from Monday to Saturday, and they've been more than happy to answer any kind of, you know, specific kind of queries that kind of come up for people like that. They get lots of issues like that, like driving and things like that, that kind of can crop up, or, you know, money worries, or what supports and services perhaps are in people's areas. So if people are struggling and have specific queries, I would certainly point them towards a helpline. Our staff and volunteers there are trained, and again, it is free and confidential. So if people are having those kind of issues, they're coming up from time to time, please talk to somebody about it, and talk to us about it as well.
But you're just talking about driving there. Is there any particular law or reasoning going on in your organisation that people who have, say, in the first stages of dementia and are driving, I mean, is there an immediate ban on them driving if medically they're assessed as that, you know?
No, not necessarily. People with dementia can drive and can drive safely. There are a number of steps. We have a very good information booklet that's up on our website that deals with driving. Usually, you'll have to, obviously, there are a number of steps in terms of informing your insurance company, and there's certain kind of driving, you know, specific driving tests for people with dementia that they can take. Usually, people with dementia maybe might be, only allowed to drive, you know, certain routes that they're very familiar with, that they know very, very well. And really, kind of any kind of driving test for them will be geared for them, tailor-made for them. And even with that tailor-made test, some people may pass it and may be allowed to drive for another year, and they'll have to retake that test. Maybe at that stage they might not be able to drive. But no, it doesn't mean that because someone has a dementia diagnosis that there's an automatic ban. There are a number of kind of steps. There's kind of a process involved, basically, because I think the last thing that people will want to feel when they've been diagnosed with dementia is that they can't do the things that they've always done. I think it's very important that people with dementia still feel a part of the community.
I have known a friend of mine who did. He was still driving down to the local supermarket and going to mass and stuff like that, you know. And it's nice to know that that they can actually... I didn't think you could legally drive when you had dementia, you know, I must admit, you know.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you absolutely can. Again, it is tailor-made. It's you know, there are a number of steps involved in terms of, you know, notifying insurance companies. And any driving test will be geared towards that person as an individual, but... there is not an automatic ban, absolutely not. So, there's a very good information. I just don't have it to hand here, but it's a very good information booklet on driving, because it's an ongoing issue. It's a big issue for people.
Yeah.
Can I still, you know, get down to the supermarket? Can I still feel a part of the community? The last thing you want to do is make people with dementia feel isolated in their own community, feel like they're on their own. So it's important that they do have access to these things within the law, obviously, like that. But again, our helpline will have very good information on that. There is very good information for your listeners as well.
Good news for, hopefully I'll be able to tell my friend about. But thanks for that. That's very good information there.
No problem.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cormac.
Yeah. No problem.
Cormac, you know, with any campaign, normally... you know, they're looking for resources of some description or another. It may not be actually financial support, but to make sure the, you know, a campaign and a dementia working group, and you have to expand it. And, you know, you're the carers campaign as such, and you know, there's a whole lot of problems now just about with carers, as have been highlighted over the last a couple of months anyway. And we know that the government, the carers in general, are ponying up something like 100 million, and that somebody suggested it was even more than that with regard to carers. But carers for people with dementia would have to be trained in specific, procedures as such, and you're launching this campaign tomorrow, and I noticed that there's quite a lot of little snippets on the television recently. I don't know if they're called ads or whatever on the television with regard to Alzheimer's, and that brings an awareness around. But to expand that, you need all sorts of other resources and support.
Of course, yeah, and I think the ads that you're referring to there are the Understand Together TV ads.
Yeah.
So that's it's a HSC campaign, but we're a partner in that campaign as well. And a lot of those ads are about increasing the public support and public awareness and information around dementia. Really, it's the Understand Together. It's a public awareness campaign. So what they're trying to do is really just kind of educate and let people know about dementia, let people know about the different issues there are out there for people with dementia, or whether that's the person themselves or the carers, because I know some of those TV ads and radio ads, they deal with different subjects. There's a very good one recently that looked at the carers of a person with dementia as well, and looked at the help and support that they need as well, and the importance of people to remain part of the community as well, so that they don't feel kind of isolated. And it's really about taking the stigma out of dementia as well. Again, we hear all the time people are isolated in their own community. People stop saying hello to them. People stop saying you know, dropping by for a cup of tea and saying hello. So we're really trying to, in this campaign as well, really trying to just educate people a bit more about dementia, and really just try to include people in the community as well, you know. And it's important that people know about dementia, and they're very wary of people. They're more aware of people with dementia in their own community. Very, very important.
Yes, and like the people I know with dementia or onset of dementia, they're very, very lucid for maybe a week, and then they keep forgetting, and then they're very, very lucid again. Now, I don't know what that's a sign of oncoming dementia or that. But if a person goes up to the top of the stairs like I do, well, what did I come up here for? And of course, it'd be to turn on the light or the heating or whatever. And that wouldn't indicate I had dementia, but people actually do forget. And then it seems to be, a diagnosis of dementia has to be made, and I presume it's your local GP is the first port of call.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. I mean, don't to confuse dementia with, you know, one time if people forgot their keys, or, you know, it's not to be confused with having a senior moment or whatever it might be. Really, dementia is very much, you know, if people are having those early signs over a period of time, perhaps, they can't remember recent events, or they can't come up with the right words, or problem solving, or kind of making decisions and things like that. Anything, if you like, that these kind of signs and symptoms may be combined, or they might be persisting over a period of time, not just one instance of perhaps forgetting your keys or whatever. Really, it's just, if these are persisting over a period of time, please talk to somebody. I mean, you can talk to your local GP. Often that's where people go first, or they can obviously ring our helpline here. And we would encourage people to kind of get an early diagnosis as possible. I know it's very difficult for people, and it can be a very difficult time for them and their families when a diagnosis is actually given, but it's very important that it's made at an earlier stage as possible, because there might be different supports that could be put in place, and it gives that individual a lot more time to kind of plan adequately for the future as well. So again, if people are experiencing those early signs over a short period of time, please get in touch with somebody. We would encourage them to kind of speak up and really just talk to somebody about it.
Yes, and we know that dementia can't be cured, but it can be progressed, it can be, cut short as such. There's a progression, to stop the progression rapidly occurring, and I think there may be medication for that, I'm not quite sure. But
There can be. I mean, not in all cases, but no. In some cases, yes, it could possibly be. And that's why, again, that's probably one of the reasons why we'd encourage people to get an earlier diagnosis. Those types of supports can be put in place at an earlier stage. But again, dementia, it would affect everybody different, and everybody will react to it differently. So it depends on a number of things. But we do believe here that people can still live well with dementia and still have a positive outlook. But again, you know, the whole family in terms of supports needs to be involved, friends, and again, like I was saying earlier on with the Understand Together campaign, the whole community can be involved as well.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Cormac, for coming on at very short notice as such, and I'm sorry for the glitches at the top end of the programme,
but no problem.
I think we might have it sorted by now, and we'll be back to you again, Cathal, maybe during the year sometime, and we get an update on how the campaign is progressing, and anything you can tell us, we will be obliged. And I'd like to thank you again, Cathal. Bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.